I had a lot of expectations for my business. And when I realized that this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, this is exactly the pace that I am supposed to be going at, I am not doing anything wrong, I'm doing everything right, then that was when I kind of just said, the rest is up to Hashem.
Welcome to LifeWorks, where we talk about life and work and making it work. I'm Hannah Greenstein, a from mompreneur on a mission just like yours, to live the mompreneur life that brings me feelings of balance and inner peace and joy. Here, I hold space for you in the many roles you play as a from mommy business owner. Join me for support, mindset, techniques, and tools around productivity, focus, and work-life balance so you can feel in balance and at peace. If you can find excitement and joy at work and at home, you will thrive in the roles you play and feel fulfilled by your life's work. And that's what I want for you. So let's get started. Hello, 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 and welcome back to LifeWorks Podcast. I am so excited to deliver today's episode to you. What is so fun about recording in real life episodes is just meeting with all different types of women in all different industries who are all working towards the same goal as us. More presence, more focus, more balance, feeling better as a from mommy business owner. And talking to Sarah Isaacs of The Butterfly Method was a super fun conversation. We talked about maternity leave, which is really relevant for many of you and quite a hot topic. And I'm excited for you to dive into today's episode and hear all about how Sarah is working towards work-life balance, making sure to nurture herself and fill her cup so she could be there for the people most important to her in her life. Before you head into today's episode, I want to share with you this. I put my heart and soul into this podcast so that I can bring you free, accessible value so that you can make moves towards being more imbalanced and feeling better as a from mommy business owner. Two small ways you can return the favor. Please share the podcast with someone who might appreciate it. Post about it on social media or in a group of from mompreneurs so that the word can spread and more women can gain from the value that is on the podcast. And the thing that keeps me going is to know that you are out there and you are enjoying and you are gaining. So drop me a line, send me an email, hannah@lifeworkspodcast.com. Send me a WhatsApp, link is in the show notes. Post on social media and share your top takeaways from the podcast. Let me know that you're enjoying, what you would love to see more of. I would love to know that you are out there and you are part of the amazing circle of women listening to this podcast. And for now, enjoy today's episode. Welcome, Sarah. I am so excited to have you here and excited to hear your story.
Hi, thank you so much. My name is Sarah Isaacs. I have been a personal trainer for women for the past 12 years in a lot of different cities, Atlanta, where I'm originally from. And then we were living in Israel, in Ramat Eshkol and all the surrounding neighborhoods. And now I'm living in Chicago. I work primarily with pre and postnatal women, supporting them in all the different, like, I guess, struggles that pregnancy has on your body, and really focusing on like the rehab piece of it. And then eventually, obviously, it turns into, you know, strength and goals and things like that. A lot of that comes with empowerment. A lot of that comes with, you know, supporting women through the different obstacles that, you know, come from childbirth, and it takes a huge toll on the body mentally, emotionally, and physically. And as much as I'm a personal trainer, I also feel like I'm like half a therapist, half a sounding board. You know, I wear lots of different hats. And yeah, I think that's like the gist of it.
Okay, so cool. I would love to talk with you about work-life balance, both like what you have learned and experienced personally and professionally supporting so many women through really like momentous motherhood moments. But I would love to start with like, what does work-life balance mean to you?
Okay, that's a really good question. I think I learned that like the hard way, like most people, right? Like you get to a place of like burnout, or get to a place of like, oh my gosh, I'm pulled in like every single direction. And am I giving to myself? Am I giving to my family? So I definitely like love the question, because I experienced, you know, major burnout a few years ago where I felt like I was giving so much of myself to my clients. I'm very much like a give all of myself and really be like fully present. And the only way I think that I really learned how to do that was I had to hit a place where like I just wasn't functioning. And then I had to like ask for help. And asking for help could be really humbling. And, you know, obviously you go through different emotions. First, there's shame, then there's guilt, then there's like, okay, I feel comforted and validated. And a lot of that was also just like sitting with myself and being like, okay, Sarah, what fills up your cup? Because like you're telling all these women to like work out and take care of themselves. So you need to be consistently doing that for yourself also. I would always like tell people, okay, so then like definitely go to therapy. And like I had to do all those things myself also in order to feel, to also take care of me and make sure that I can give that peace to myself. One of my biggest learns of 2021, I always say, was like learning to say no and like not taking every client just because, you know, I was flattered. There was a time in my life where I wish I had more clients, but then I had to say no, like these are your hours. This is what works for you because you need to be a mother in the afternoon and you have a family and you have kids who really need their mommy to have energy for them. You need to have like be semi-awake at 9 o'clock at night when your husband comes home to talk to him. So like things like that, you know, Fridays was like, I think I remember like, I learned that like Fridays, people always ask me, can you work out Friday morning? Can you train Friday morning? And I was like, no, Fridays are my day off. Fridays is when I prepare for Shabbos and I go for a long run, or when I have a really good workout because I really need to fill my cup up before a full weekend where I'm taking care of my kids and their home, you know, things like that. So I really had to learn that. And it took time. It was not overnight, but I believe I have a pretty good work-life balance. And I think that different seasons of our life are more stressful than others. Like right now, I am going through a season of my life where I'm not necessarily working out as consistently. And that's hard because I'm not able to fill my cup up in a way that I can have that like balance. And I feel like I'm giving myself also, you know, and like I'm going on maternity leave for 2 months. So then I need to make sure that I'm working now. So I'm definitely a little bit overloaded, you know, so different stages of our lives. I always tell people, it's like, it's okay. This is temporary. You don't have to have it all figured out. And like, it's better to learn the hard way than to like have all these things set in place. And then you don't even know if like what you're doing is working for you. Just because like Chaya down the street has this set up or these boundaries set up, that doesn't mean it works for you.
You make so many great points. I love how so often it's like when we are helping our clients, at a certain point, we realize we're helping our clients do something that we haven't really mastered ourselves. And that's when we like, that's when that shift happens, when it's like, oh, I also have to take care of me. I also have to prioritize me. I also have to fill up my cup. And like you said, it's a journey. Like it doesn't happen overnight. And it takes a lot of trial and error and a lot of learning the hard way. And then you get to this place where you sort of have it figured out, and then you hit a new season of life and a new stage of life, and you have to figure it out all over again. But like, that's how it works. And if you're always remembering, again, this point you made that it's what works for you and not what works for anyone else, then you know that you always are able to figure it out, because you just have to turn inwards. You just have to like see what is going to work for me at this season, at this stage. And you will be able to figure that out.
I had a client this morning. Funny that we're talking about this today. And she was saying how she's like, but I should know better. She was talking about how like something is a struggle for her, but like, why is it a struggle for her? She should know better. Or like, she shouldn't be at that stage anymore where like, this is a struggle. And I kept telling her, I was like, you are human. Humans struggle. And like, stop dehumanizing yourself. Like, just because this person is actually like a leader in the community. And she's like, but like, I should be past that. I'm like, why are you putting yourself on a pedestal? Like, do you know how many times I'm like, oh my God, this client is like stronger than me, or this client, you know, is like eating so well and drinking so well and like really taking care of herself. I'm not doing that. If I would constantly be pushing myself down, then I wouldn't like allow myself to have that grace that like I'm a human and sometimes I'm really doing well at something and sometimes I'm struggling. It's part of the cycle.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I think we can gain just as much from struggling as we can from doing well, whatever we're doing well. Like we learn so much about how to do things well from not doing them well. Like, right? That's how we learn work-life balance, because we fail at it. And then we're like, oh, this isn't working. I need to implement these boundaries. Like it serves us so much to be human and mess up.
Yeah. And I think that like those feelings of like not like struggling are uncomfortable, right? Like a lot of times, I mean, I'm coming, like, I think I'm like between two different generations where like boundaries, I always thought for a long time were like so selfish. And now I'm like learning that they're actually like the best thing ever for my family and for me. And so like, of course, I remember not so long ago when like I would tell myself like, no, Sarah, like you cannot set these boundaries. That's so selfish of you. And like, that's so rude to that person. And like that people pleasing part, you know, and then like you come to this, like you have to learn the hard way. You have to struggle because that it's uncomfortable. No one likes to go through it. And then you're like, oh my gosh, these boundaries are like so, and that's how you get that work-life balance, right? Like by setting up these boundaries for yourself that are so in the end, people respect you for it. People look up to you for it. Your family appreciates you more for it, but it doesn't feel great. And it doesn't feel good in the beginning. You know what I mean? I was listening to a podcast. So she said that like when you implement a boundary, it doesn't feel good in the beginning. It feels incredibly unnatural. And then you have to do it a few times and then you'll see it. But like in the beginning, a lot of people will set a boundary and then go back on it because it doesn't feel good. And we're so like scared of being uncomfortable that it's really hard to make that balance, right? It doesn't happen right away.
Yeah, it's so true. And so sorry, you mentioned not working on Friday. I would love to hear if you have any other boundaries that like red lines you don't cross that you would share with us.
So this one is more recent, that between certain hours of the day, I just don't answer my text messages from clients. I try not to look at my phone at all. That's definitely harder, but I'll see it. I just won't answer it. I'll wait till my kids are in bed. You know, another boundary that I have is that if people ask me to like reschedule, even if I'm available, like during certain hours, those are my hours, you know? That's when I'm doing things around the house. Yeah, I could probably squish it around and move things around. But like, I found that in the end, I was always ending up so much more overwhelmed because I didn't get to put in dinner 30 minutes early. I only got to do it 10 minutes early, you know, things like that. So yeah, those I think are like my main boundaries. I'm also like, since I've started, I have an online program as well. So I see clients in person. And then I also have an online program. And since starting that, my social media has definitely grown. And I've noticed that a lot of the people who are seeing my content are not people I know anymore. It used to be that like, I kind of knew everybody like a little bit, or like the name sounded familiar. And so I've just felt like I've taken a step back from posting more personal things, more family things, my kids more. I used to post a lot more about just like my daily life. And I feel like that's one big boundary that I just like, I don't even have like the desire. And it's also like, why does everyone need to know what's going on every single day? You know what I mean? So that took me a long time because I'm a natural sharer and I'm a natural like people pleaser. So boundaries are really hard for me. They're not something that come naturally at all. And like I said in the beginning, like I really had to learn the hard way. I had to feel icky about certain things that I shared. And now I won't share certain things. You know what I mean?
And it's funny because somebody, one of my friends who's like super private said something to me like, oh, but you share so much. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, but I actually like haven't been, because to me, a boundary may look a certain way, but to someone else, about a boundary also may look a certain way. You know, I think that's also, it's all very much perspective.
Yeah. It's very, very personal. And it's only once you like are able to recognize that it's personal and just own your life and your decisions, whatever they need to be, without like measuring them up against anyone else. Like that's when you really figure out what it is you need to be doing and are able to go through with it.
Yeah. I love that.
Sara, I would love to hear from your professional experience and personal experience talking about this postpartum period. I don't know that it's talked about so much. I know that women take 6 weeks of maternity leave and they're back at it. And many business owners don't really take much leave at all because they don't have to, you know, like there's not that paid leave and they feel this pull to go back. Like, can you speak to that time in a woman's life? Whether it's like, what have you seen?
I personally have not experienced that. I've always worked primarily for myself. I actually left a job when I found out I was pregnant because I was afraid of not having that, like that grace, you know, and I know I need it. I have very hard postpartums, but I know for my clientele that it's been incredibly stressful. They don't want to leave their babies. They're not ready. The pumping and nursing life is incredibly stressful for women. Not everybody works from home. Not everybody has a flexible job schedule. There's a lot of women in the like corporate world that are working 9-to-5 jobs that need to get nannies for themselves, which is also a huge cost. And then on top of that, they're leaving their baby. They're pumping in between like meetings and lunch breaks. So in America, especially, I don't know anywhere else, but I know that like there's definitely like a lack for postpartum care and understanding of like what the maternal like need is. You know what I mean? To like 6 weeks is not like a magic number.
I would love to hear, like, I think that business owners in particular are blessed with this like ability to take off as long as they want because I'm my own boss and I could decide to take off 6 months. But on the flip side, because I own the business, everything is on me and I'm passionate about what I do and I love what I do and my business is my baby and I have this tremendous responsibility to like keep it alive. And so it could be in a lot of ways harder for a business owner to take that maternity leave.
I think it's harder, if anything, because a lot of times like silence or like not having business, people forget about you, right? Out of sight, out of mind. So the longer you're like quiet, then the longer you become like irrelevant almost, right? So there is definitely that like stress of like staying consistent and putting yourself out there. I've actually done a little bit of research now that like I own my own business. I'm not working for anybody. I'm also working full time. I never did that previously. And I think there's like a couple things. First of all, there's like the Parnassa piece. Like a lot of people are working because they have bills to pay and they need to continue doing that. So there is definitely that stress. They know that they're not getting 6 weeks paid maternity leave, that they have to come back. And then there's also like you become kind of like irrelevant almost. Because you need to stay consistent and you need to stay like in business in order for your clientele or your company to continue running. So there's definitely like a pressure, I feel. And I've heard this from different types of like business industries. Obviously, everybody's a little bit different. But if you have some sort of like scale, like I think that's what it's called, right? Like scaling. So like, if you're selling something while you're still on maternity leave, then that could be better. It's all about how you prepare yourself. Also, like, I feel like certain people that I've spoken to have definitely prepared themselves because they knew that they would not be available, or they had to hire someone to take over certain pieces to continue letting their business run. Whereas other people, literally felt like they had to go back after a few weeks because like there's nothing coming in, right? So it's really stressful. I think women just have it really hard when it comes to this. And it's not in our favor unless you work for like a tech company. You know what I mean? They give you like 5 months paid maternity leave or something crazy like that.
Yeah. It's really, really hard when you're the business owner. And so it's all your decision and your responsibility. And like you said, it all rests on the planning ahead. I just recently-ish took a 3-month maternity leave and I was only able to do that because like the maternity leave consumed my year from how much I was planning and setting up before. And I would challenge what you said that you become irrelevant. I think it can feel like that, but I wonder how much of that is actually true. But then there's also so much you can do. Like, let's say that is true. There's so much you can do and set up in advance and prepare in advance. So social media posts can continue to go out and emails to your list could continue to go out if they're set up before, which is super cool that we're able to do that, that we're able to show up even when we are totally not showing up. So
I agree with you. Like, but I have somebody doing that for me.
Right.
Like I have somebody who, like, not everybody has someone working for them. Like Baruch Hashem, I have someone who's going to be doing things for me while I'm on maternity leave. So I don't have to worry about like the emails and the posts and things like that. But in general, I don't know. It feels maybe that way. Do you not feel like you became irrelevant when you went on maternity leave?
No.
Oh, that's great. I think again, you planned, you really planned.
Right. Right. And I had emails, I had podcasts released weekly because they were recorded and edited and prepared and set up and scheduled in advance, which took a tremendous amount of work. Like it's a very personal, like we were saying, it's a very personal decision. If you don't want to be working like that double workload before, then you might not have that type of maternity leave and that might not be important to you. If you don't have someone working for you, that's very different than if you do. If you aren't comfortable using the technology that could schedule your next 12 emails, that's going to be very different than if you are. Like, it's super, super, super personal. And then I know women that, like, for them, like, some things just don't feel like work. And they're so happy to show up on social media while they're recuperating in bed. And other women who, like, do not want to engage at all with anybody or anything. So it's so personal. And I think that like the bottom line is what you said, you got to plan it in advance, like figure out what you need, what you want it to look like, how you're going to do that for yourself and your business.
Yeah. I'm doing that right now.
Yeah.
It's definitely hard. Job. Yeah. It's a huge job. And it takes, like you said, like you have to make that decision if you want to work the double load and really like push yourself when you're pregnant to make sure that it's set up. And yeah, like at the end of the day, I'm going to echo what you said. It's really personal. And I think people, again, you have to learn the hard way a little bit, maybe at some point. Like I for sure know that like there are things that I could be doing that I'm not. And, you know, I'm here to shine the next time around. I'll know, like, and I'll learn. It's all trial and error.
Totally. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Sarah, I would love to hear, what do you do that is just for you? You talked about filling your cup. What do you do to do that?
Okay, so I work out daily, not while I'm pregnant. I mean, okay, so I'm a big runner. That is my therapy. And I also like have this like coffee ritual where like I drink my cup of coffee when it's quiet. And I say my brachos and I have like a gratitude journal. So I have kind of like a morning routine a little bit. And I also have a nighttime routine. And those are like my two things. Like I would say like consistently my morning routine and my nighttime routine. My kids know like don't come into mommy's room until she's out because I need to get ready in like quiet and peace. And I need to get like prepared for bed in like quiet and peace. And it's like my routine. I have my shower and all my like creams and it's really calming for me. It's like a whole new level of self-care. I think that like some people just feel like it's like, okay, normal life. But I really like, what's the word? I enhance it. Yeah.
And you're really intentional about it. Like I think
I'm very intentional about it. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. I've talked about this before with women, how it's like, but like you could put on moisturizer before you go to bed or you could have a ritual where you put on moisturizer and it doesn't look different. It just feels different because like you attach different meaning to it and you decide to focus and like make this a moment when you're winding down and you know, like relaxing, or you don't. And then it's just a moment that you're like thinking about a million things while you happen to be rubbing moisturizer into your arm, into your hands. Like, it's such a different experience.
I think that like a big piece, and I speak about this a lot to my clients, and I speak about this on my social media, is that different seasons of my life, my self-care looks very different. It used to be that like I would take a 1 hour workout every single morning after my kids would leave before I started work. Now I don't have that luxury. So my morning coffee and my gratitude and my brachos in the morning have become that. At night, my hot shower, my skin routine has become that instead of, let's say, going out with a friend. So I think that like they look different at different seasons of our life. It used to be that like lunchtime, there was one time in my life that like before my kids would get home, I would sit down and I would make myself like a whole fancy lunch, like make my salad pretty and like really like put intention into it. And it was like my nourishment so that I wasn't cranky. But when your kids get home from school and like everybody needs you, mommy, 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 and like the dinner is like burning on the stove and like this person's doing Korea homework and like it's crazy. So I used to like sit down and like really give myself food and water and like make sure that I physically felt good. And I don't do that now, but at that season of my life, it was like my saving grace. So like, again, it's like personal to different seasons of our lives. I think that's one thing that like I learned tremendously, and I want people to take this away. There's no right way. There's no like formula for self-care. It really is like, I challenge you to like sit down and make a list of all the things you like could dream of, right? Like dream outside the box, dream and think about like the things that you love or that you wish you could do. And different times of your life or different weeks, certain things may work. If you have a simcha or you're traveling or things are going on in your life, camp just started, I don't know, whatever it is, there's all these things happening, that might not be the right time to do that self-care. So then like pivot, do something else. You know, there's nothing right about it. It has to feel good to you. It has to fill up your cup. It's your cup.
So true.
Can't you tell I'm passionate about it?
Yes. Yes. And this is like, women need to know this, because if they're trying to do the right thing, then they aren't doing self-care. It's for yourself, right?
Right.
I would love to hear if you have any favorite productivity hacks or ways that you streamline your business or things you do to work smarter and not harder.
I think one of the biggest things that I did was hiring somebody to do things that I probably could do myself and money that I could probably pocket. But I decided to really, you know, have someone do the things that I don't like doing that takes me much longer, that I'm not very good at. That was one thing that I don't regret in any way, shape, or form. It's made the joy of my business continue to be the joy of my business. I did also a lot of research on that. And I feel like a lot of people told me, well, like they didn't love the business anymore because they were doing the things. There's so much more to a business than just like your the passion piece, right? There's a lot of like the technical stuff. And I feel like that was one thing that I did that really helped with the productivity, because they're more efficient. It's more efficient. And it's also making me still love my job.
I love that. I would love to wrap this up. Whatever you would like, love to leave us off with, your top tip from the trenches. So you're doing this, you're a mompreneur. That's our audience, women running their businesses and raising their families. What would you say is your number one tip or takeaway?
So this is something that I'm learning, that I'm a big dreamer and I have like positive expectations on everything. And I think the biggest thing that I want to leave you with is like, it's okay if it's slow in the beginning. It's okay if it doesn't like hit off and your audience may sound like crickets in the beginning. It's okay if your numbers are not exactly where you want them to be. I had a lot of expectations for my business and I've had those feelings of disappointment pretty early. And when I realized that like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, this is exactly the pace that I am supposed to be going at. I am not doing anything wrong. I'm doing everything right. Everything looks great. Then that was when I kind of just said, the rest is up to Hashem. There's a lot of davening that goes into it. There's a lot of believing in yourself and being consistent and not allowing those feelings of like, am I enough? Is this right? Should it be more? You know, take over. It's so much easier said than done. So like, if I sound cheesy and I sound like, okay, good for her, I will tell you, I'm going to be super vulnerable right now. Okay. I have a business idea. It is successful in real life. Baruch Hashem, my in-person business is doing very well. I have a waiting list. My online business is like crickets. I thought I would get 10 people within my first launch. I got 4 people. And that was a huge disappointment for me. I felt like a gut. I felt like, what? Like, I put my kishkas into this. I invested all this money. It looks so good and professional. It's okay. It will come. And I believe it. I'm not just saying it to make myself look feel good. I really believe it will come when the time is right. And the same for you. So if you're having a hard time and you're struggling, it's not because of the fact that you're a mom. It's not because you have so much going on in your life. It's not because you're doing anything wrong. It's because things take time. Good things take time. And just stay consistent. And daven to Hashem, because it's not, we do our hashalas and the rest is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So powerful.
That's my little pitch.
I have nothing to add to that, except I will say that it does look really professional and gorgeous. And 4 members is a win. It's 4 wins. So yeah, that is so, so powerful. Thank you for that, Sarah. If listeners want to find you, follow you, learn more about what you do, where can they do that?
My Instagram handle is SarahIsaacs_. And my website is www.thebutterflymethod.co, not com, co.
All the links will be in the show notes. So they will have an easy time finding that. Thank you so much for being here, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. As always, head to lifeworkspodcast.com because that's where the party's at. Drop a comment, #ILifeWorked, on this episode to let our community know that you took the challenge and encourage others to do the same. If you want to hear more about what I do for mompreneurs and how we can work together, reach out, Hannah@lifeworkspodcast.com. Wishing you a day of work and life that work to bring you tremendous fulfillment and joy. Till next time, I'll see you here. And again, thanks for being a part of our incredible community. Thank you.